Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
Tomorrow is a WRAL Weather Alert Day with a potential for severe storms and strong winds. I'll show you what you'll see where you are. And breaking this noon, we've learned authorities have charged a woman in connection with a bicycle crash that killed a beloved Durham city official. We'll have a live report.
And Durham police are asking for help catching a man who they say has been touching women inappropriately. Good afternoon to you. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Renee Chu. Thanks for joining us. This is a huge weekend for big events. However, we are under a WRAL weather alert for tomorrow, and we want you to know what to expect. Let's get straight to meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner to explain how tomorrow's weather will affect your plans, especially outdoor events. We have a cold front that'll come through starting around the middle of the morning, lasting at least through the middle of the afternoon. And so that's where we start. We have a level one risk for severe storms for most of the viewing area. Some of those, of course, likely to produce some wind damage. Outside of the line of thunderstorms, it is going to be windy with gusts 35 to 45 with the potential for some isolated 50 mile per hour gusts. And of course, the rain that will go with this will make for a muddy mess at Dreamville. The lightning, of course, could be dangerous for folks who are going to be outside. And of course, the windy conditions could cause some problems for the tents and the stages that are set up at Dreamville. This is a look at our level one severe weather threat, and it is in effect for most of us tomorrow. Just a few of our counties near the Virginia line are not included, but it doesn't mean that you're not going to see some stronger storms that move through that area. So damaging wind again would be our biggest threat. We take a look at our Dreamville forecast again, likely to see some of that rain beginning as early as 10 or 11 o'clock with the thunderstorms moving through and heading out by about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We'll see a high of 81 degrees, so it is going to be a warm day. We're also looking at the potential for a few light showers today. We have a few showers that are just outside of our viewing area right now, and we're going to see the potential for those to pop up here and there, really all the way through the afternoon and into the evening. We'll have the potential for just a few isolated showers. Not looking at any thunderstorms for it today, but we do see that line of storms again approaching us right here at 10 a.m. moving into, say, Durham and Roxborough at lunchtime from Raleigh and Durham up to the north and east. And then later in the afternoon, 2 to 3 o'clock, we'll have the potential for some of those storms in our southern counties. We'll see some clearing mid to late afternoon, but the winds will be very strong, still seeing some gusts up to 40 to 50 miles per hour. Our hour by hour rain chances again will be highest from 10 to 2. And we're going to talk a little bit more about today's rain and the remainder of the weekend coming up. Elizabeth, thanks. A big breaking update related to the crash that killed a beloved member of the Durham city staff.
This morning, we learned a 26-year-old woman is charged with hitting and killing Durham's budget director while he was riding his bike. His name is John Allure. WRAL's Chelsea Donovan is live in Durham. And Chelsea, this was a well-liked, longtime member of the Durham community.
Absolutely. It's a heavy day here in Durham. John Allure had worked for this city for 25 years, actually promoted to budget director in 2021. And we know that he was riding his bike yesterday morning in southwestern Orange County on Bradshaw Quarry Road when he was struck and killed. Now, according to the Highway Patrol, 26-year-old Karen Malinato was charged with hitting the back of Allure's bike. She was arrested for failing to reduce speed and misdemeanor death by motor vehicle. We have learned that Allure died at the scene. We understand that he was actually set to be in Canada today. That's where he's from. A crime documentary produced by a Canadian television network was to premiere tonight regarding the murder of his sister. That actually happened in Canada back in 1978. Allure had been dogged for decades trying to find the person responsible for killing her. He had authored a book and was involved in various true crime podcasts surrounding that. He was also a local actor here in the community theater scene here in the Triangle. Durham City Council member Javiera Caballero remembering Allure this morning.
Just really caring, and finance and budget can be topics that folks can feel kind of out of their depth about, but he was always really great at explaining things for us, answering our questions, just being super professional, but also really caring.
Now, Allure was actually writing a second book set to be published this year, and we're learning this morning not only was he a public servant here in the city of Durham, also a friend and a father to three girls. We'll have much more on this coming up in our later evening newscasts.
Such a sad story there. Chelsea Donovan live in Durham this noon. Thank you.
Durham police need your help to catch a man they say inappropriately touched three women. This happened near Northern Durham and Prospect Parkways on Wednesday. Police released this image of the man. You can't see his face, but someone may recognize the clothes. The women were walking in the neighborhood when they say the man riding this yellow bike approached them. They say he inappropriately touched them and then rode away. If you think you've seen him, call Durham police. And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are tracking the next steps for former President Donald Trump as he becomes the first president to ever face criminal charges. This is a live look outside Trump Tower this afternoon. You can see a lot of protesters gathered out there. We've just learned New York court officials are saying he will be arraigned Tuesday afternoon at the Manhattan courthouse. Now, the indictment against him will not be unsealed until next week, but sources say he faces more than 30 counts, some of them felonies that are related to business fraud. This is all linked to his alleged role in paying hush money to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to cover up an affair. So here's what happens now. He will be arraigned in New York on Tuesday, and normal protocols call for him to be fingerprinted, photographed, even handcuffed. Trump will likely be released after that until his next court date.
Michelle, thanks for that update. The indictment prompted a strong response from Republicans who called the charges politically motivated. Protesters not only in New York, but they gathered in support of Trump outside his Florida estate overnight. Trump's former Vice President Mike Pence had this to say about the news.
I think this is an outrage, but I also think at a time when the American people are struggling so much that this will only further serve to divide our country.
Trump posted to social media last night calling the charges evidence of corruption. He says he still plans to run for president in 2024.
Crowds will fill the stands tonight at the DBAP.
Yeah, the defending AAA national champ Durham Bulls have their season opener tonight with a matchup against the Norfolk Tides. WRL's Anthony Baglione is live at the DBAP with a preview. Anthony?
Hey guys, yeah, we are out here live at the DBAP. I've got my friend Wooly Bull, who we're both excited about this game tonight. Show him your spirit. We're out here saying we're thinking they're going to win by many, many points. How many think? 1 point? 10 points? 100,000 points? That's more like it. That's our score prediction, 100,000 points. You heard it here. It is going to be a great night for baseball, guys. Weather feels good, right? I mean, if there's a light breeze, but no rain in sight. How you feel about that? Good. Sprinkling some weather dust on it. We were saying he's going to do the whole forecast for us today and just make it great. Let's check out our forecast, though, for tonight, because for now, guys, it's feeling great. Temperatures are still going to be pretty comfortable here this afternoon. There's a slight chance of a shower. I hate to say it, but it is not going to cover my mouth here. It's not going to be a washout by any means tonight. Maybe a light rain jacket. But other than that, it's going to be a great forecast for baseball. We're seeing them set up the field. I saw a couple kids getting ready to base for baseball tonight. How nice is it? First of all, home opener. It's a Friday, and we have fireworks tonight, I heard. Oh, that's going to be nice here to head out. How you feel about the fireworks? I like fireworks, and baseball, too. Make it rain the fireworks out here at the DBAP. It's going to be a good night for it, and they have new food this year, right? An emphasis on high-quality, fresh food. Who doesn't love that? We're going to see lots of different concessions out here and a variety of food options for us tonight. It's going to be a good night to head out. Like I said, maybe a light jacket, but otherwise, we're looking like a good forecast. So with that said, show them your spirit. I'm excited, too. Let's go. We'll send it back to you guys in the studio, but I'm out here with my friend Wooly Bull. We'll send it back to you. Come on out tonight.
Here's hoping Mother Nature will play ball tonight. All right. Thanks, Anthony. And thank you, Wooly Bull. If you can't make it out to the game, you can watch the Bulls on WREL Plus just after 6:30. That's Channel 34 over the air and Channel 1257 on Spectrum Cable. Tens of thousands will be at Dix Park for the Dreamville Festival that gets started tomorrow. WRL's Laura Levine tells us about the preparations underway and the game plan if there is severe weather.
Well, the final countdown is on the Dreamville weekend, almost here, and you can see that the organizers are still putting the final touches on the setup as we are right outside the box office. It is safe to say that this will be a rain or shine event. Organizers with Dreamville Festival are preparing for wet and windy weather this weekend that may cause safety concerns for fans and employees. The city of Raleigh and festival organizers say they are monitoring the weather conditions for Saturday. They tell us there are plans in place for inclement weather that would be activated as needed based on conditions. And many people tell us that they are still expecting some big crowds out here.
We got big artists coming to our state. Usually, you know, our state isn't too popular when it comes to concerts. people will still go. They like the hype. They like the excitement.
Festival organizers say they are still optimistic about the weather. However, there are a few factors that would play into canceling the event or delaying the event. That would be standing water here on the field or the severity of wind and lightning. Laura Levine, WRL News in Raleigh.
We hope it doesn't come to that. Here's what you need to know about parking for Dreamville. The shuttle for the festival is sold out. Parking is available on NC State Centennial Campus. The cost will be $60 a day.
And taking a look at stocks right now this noon, it's been a volatile week, but it looks like things could end up on the upswing as we end trading on a Friday. The Dow Jones Industrial Average up 256 points right now. It's been in positive territory all day. S&P 500 also, it's up 32 points, and the NASDAQ is up 132.
And we are following some breaking news in the WREL Live Center out of Raleigh right now. We wanted to show you some video. We're following some reports that police tape is up at Wilmington Street and Parkland Road in Raleigh. You can see in this video here what appears to be a bullet hole through a car, a parked car at the scene. You can see a police crew there working to figure out what is going on. We're going to stay on top of this and let you know what's going on here, if anybody was hurt. As soon as we get that information, we'll bring it to you live from the Live Center. Michelle, thanks. Next at noon, an encouraging report about the health of Pope Francis.
When we expect him to be out of the hospital after he was admitted earlier for respiratory problems.
Also, a court victory for Oscar-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow. What the verdict in the civil trial over a skiing accident means.
Well, it's the local father of one of the military servicemen killed in the crash of two Black Hawk helicopters in Kentucky shares what his son meant to him.
The Vatican says Pope Francis could be out of the hospital tomorrow. Claudio Lavagna has more on the Pope's recovery from Rome.
In a new statement, the Vatican said that Pope Francis is expected to leave hospital on Saturday. According to the statement, last night the Pope even had dinner and ate pizza together with those who are assisting him, including nurses, doctors, and staff from Vatican security. This morning, the Pope had breakfast, read some newspapers, and resumed work. Now, the Pope has been admitted to hospital on Wednesday after he complained of breathing difficulties. He was diagnosed with bronchitis on an infection basis and was given an antibiotic therapy on an infusion basis. It is still unclear if the Pope will recover in time to attend all or some of the events scheduled for Holy Week, the most important week in the Catholic Church calendar, which starts with Palm Sunday. Claudio Lavanga, NBC News, Rome.
Two police officers and a suspect are in the hospital after shooting in Memphis, Tennessee. Memphis police say they received a report of an armed man at a convenience store last night. When officers got to the scene, they say the man ran off while firing at them. Two officers and the suspect were shot, suffering serious injuries. All three people were in the hospital in critical condition.
In Massachusetts, a grand jury has indicted Brian Walsh on a murder charge in the death of his wife, Anna. She hasn't been seen since New Year's Day. Walsh pleaded not guilty to murder in January. Walsh will be arraigned again in the coming weeks, but an exact date hasn't been set yet. He remains held without bail. If convicted on first-degree murder, Walsh will get a mandatory life sentence without the possibility of parole. Gwyneth Paltrow has prevailed in the civil trial relating to a 2016 ski collision. A Utah jury found the Oscar-winning actor and businesswoman not liable and ruled in her favor in her counterclaim against the man who sued her. Ashley Dvorkin has reaction to the verdict.
What percent of the fault do you assign to Terry Sanderson? 100%.
$1 awarded in economic damages to Oscar winner Gwyneth Paltrow as a Utah jury found the actor not at fault for injuries sustained by a man during a ski slope collision in Park City in 2016. In a statement to the AP released by her representatives, Paltrow says she felt that acquiescing to a false claim compromised her integrity. She adds she's pleased with the outcome and appreciates all of the hard work of the judge and jury, thanking them for their thoughtfulness in handling this case. 76-year-old retired optometrist Terry Sanderson suffered a concussion and four broken ribs when he and Paltrow crashed on a beginner run at Deer Valley Ski Resort in Park City, Utah. He claimed the incident led to a traumatic brain injury and was seeking more than $300,000 in damages. Sanderson told reporters outside of the courthouse, as Paltrow left court, she touched his shoulder and said, "I wish you well," and he thanked her. During the eight-day trial, both Paltrow and Sanderson took the stand, each accusing the other of being at fault for the collision. Attorneys spoke of skiing code of conduct, noting the skier downhill or ahead on the slope has the right of way. The live stream trial brought much attention to this celebrity court case. Paltrow's countersuit was for a symbolic $1 and attorney's fees.
That was Ashley Dvorkin reporting.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are following news out of Minneapolis this afternoon. Leaders there have approved an agreement to revamp policing nearly 3 years after a city officer killed George Floyd. The city council approved the agreement today on an 11-0 vote. Last year, the State Department of Human Rights said the police department had engaged in a pattern of race discrimination for at least a decade. And city leaders agreed to negotiate a settlement with the agency. Again, leaders have agreed to approve a policy that is going to revamp the police department there.
Spent a lot of time this noon and earlier today talking about trying to keep people safe for the WRL weather alert for tomorrow. We'll bring it back to today now.
Yeah, right now we have cloudy skies and we do have some showers to the west of us. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner tracking those showers on the dual Doppler radar.
Fortunately, we don't have any severe weather in our forecast for today, but we do have some showers that could be inconvenient at times, especially during the evening commute and around dinner time. It is Friday, and I know a lot of folks might be out and about. We can see the showers back to our west from Greensboro and Winston-Salem back towards Charlotte. None of those have arrived here yet, and it's likely that the first wave that moves in will evaporate before it reaches the ground because we do have a fairly dry air mass in place. Here's a look at the big picture. This is the cold front that moves in tomorrow. We are likely to have a lot of severe weather out ahead of this up and down the Mississippi Valley and into parts of the Midwest. But you can see some of the light rain way ahead of it moving into the mountains and the Piedmont. And of course, it will move through our area too. We take a look at Futurecast, and Futurecast shows a few isolated showers right around and after lunchtime. This is 3 p.m. Again, nothing terribly heavy. None of this is going to be really even thunderstorms, just a few light showers. Here's 5 o'clock and we see a little bit of light rain pushing in, some scattered showers between 5 and 7 p.m. across the viewing area. And then just on and off overnight, there'll be a few light showers. Again, nothing severe, nothing terribly heavy. Tomorrow, we have that level one severe threat. Damaging wind will be the biggest threat, and most of our counties are under that severe weather threat. We're likely to see those thunderstorms moving into the viewing area as early as 10 a.m., which is a little earlier than we would normally see a round of severe storms. We tend to expect those more in the afternoon. But let's kick things off Saturday morning at 4 a.m., a few light showers here and there, and then here comes that line of thunderstorms by 10 a.m. It's beginning to move into our northwestern counties right around noon from the Triangle area northward. And then as we get into the afternoon, it begins to fill in down to the south with a better chance for our southern counties seeing those showers and thunderstorms between, say, 2 and 4 o'clock, say, around Fayetteville and Clinton. By 5 o'clock, it's completely out of the viewing area, but it will still be windy. And, of course, it could have a big impact on the headliners for Dreamville. Looking at 6:30, things are going to begin to improve by then once we get the clearing here from 6:30 to 7:15, city girls actually should be pretty nice. 72 degrees. The only real problem is we'll continue to have 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts. 7:30 to 8:15, RA Lennox, 69 degrees with 20 to 30 mile per hour gusts. From 8:30 to 9, Little Dirk, 25 to 30 mile per hour gusts. And that'll continue through Usher, who's the headliner, at 9:30, 67 degrees. Now, Sunday, we're going to see plenty of sunshine. 62 degrees when JID comes out at 5:45. At 6:45, Summer Walker, sunny and mild, but then it begins to cool off pretty quickly. 7:45, as we get past sunset, we'll see 58 degrees. And then the headliner, J. Cole and Drake, at 9:15, 55 degrees. So you're going to want to take a jacket with you if you're headed out there on Sunday. Of course, Saturday is a WREL weather alert day. We're going to walk through some more of the impacts coming up in just a little bit. Of course, we have the Durham Bulls home opener. Anthony Baglione's going to come back again and probably have another little conversation with Willie. 74, our high temperature today with some isolated showers through the evening. And then we're warm back up Tuesday and Wednesday with highs in the 80s again.
All right, the 80s will return at some point. Elizabeth, thank you. A teen is accepted to 54 colleges and universities, and she landed on Duke. Today at 4, how Daya Brown is using this incredible opportunity to help others find their success.
54, wow. A tax rebate for electric cars should get you $7,500, but a new change is making that money harder to collect. On WRL News at 5:30, we'll explain the changes you need to know. Plus, still ahead this noon, clothes, makeup, maybe a good beach book.
All things many of us pack for a vacation, right? One federal agency says you should pack something else you probably never thought of. Coming up, what it is and why it could save your life.
And a live look right now at the DBAP, where the Durham Bulls, your hometown baseball team, throw out the first pitch opening night. 6:30 is the time for that as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. A federal agency has guidance for extra life-saving safety when traveling this spring and summer. Pack a carbon monoxide alarm. The Consumer Product Safety Commission says many travel accommodation locations don't have working carbon monoxide detectors. Carbon monoxide is a deadly gas that can't be seen or smelled. The latest data from the CPSC estimates about 250 people died in 2019 from non-fire carbon monoxide poisoning.
Mortgage rates are falling again, just in time for the spring home selling season. And a new bankruptcy warning from Bed Bath & Beyond. Those are among today's business headlines with Erin Rayal.
Bed Bath & Beyond is again warning about bankruptcy. The retailer is looking to raise $300 million through a stock offering. It needs the money to pay off creditors and fund operations. If it's not successful in raising the capital, the chain says that a bankruptcy filing is likely. The stock offering comes after Bed Bath & Beyond ended an agreement to raise funds with the hedge fund Hudson Bay Capital. Ford has resumed full production of its popular F-150 Lightning pickup truck. Production was temporarily halted in February after a fire relating to the battery in the vehicle. Ford also said that it's raising prices on some versions of the truck. In one case, the standard range Lightning Pro will now start at just under $60,000. That's about 50% higher than the original starting price when the model launched last spring. Mortgage rates are down for a third week in a row. The rate on the 30-year fixed loan is 6.32%. That's down from 6.42% a week ago, according to Freddie Mac. The drop in rates is good news for borrowers, but they're facing low inventory of homes for sale as spring selling season gets underway. And Wall Street bonuses were down last year as business and financial services slowed. The average bonus was $176,000. That's a 26% drop from the record high of $240,000 a year earlier. This according to a report from the New York State Comptroller's Office. The drop in payout was the steepest since the financial crisis in 2008, and it comes as bonus pools were smaller following a drop in revenue at Wall Street firms last year. And those are your business headlines. I'm Erin Rayal at the NASDAQ Market Site.
Coming up, a Wayne County father suffers a horrible loss.
His son was among those who died in a military helicopter crash in Kentucky. What that father wants people to know.
Also ahead, Donald Trump is under indictment. Why experts say the former president's legal troubles stretch out well beyond this case.
And here are your winning lottery numbers on your screen right now.
Shot in 4K ultra high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
A Wayne County man tells WRAL his son was one of nine soldiers killed in a military helicopter crash in Kentucky.
Caleb Gore was a paramedic with the 101st Airborne Division. He died when the Black Hawk helicopter he was in collided with another Black Hawk during a training mission. His father says Caleb was a hardworking and honest man who loved the Army. Caleb's wife is 3 months pregnant with their first child. The family learned just this week she's having a boy. Now the family's remembering the hero they lost. That's his dad you see pictured right here. And North Carolina Senator Tom Tillis also shared his condolences for the family. He said in a Twitter post, "It's absolutely heartbreaking. This is a tragic reminder of the dangers the men and women of our military face every day, even during routine exercises." More coverage now of the indictment against former President Donald Trump, and we now expect him to turn himself in on Tuesday. We spoke with North Carolina Central University's criminal law professor, Irving Joyner, and he said the next step now is to wait for that indictment to be unsealed when Trump is in court, and there will be more after that.
And Professor Joyner emphasized the importance of prosecutors avoiding missteps in this case because of the close scrutiny coming from the people watching it. The indictment this week against Donald Trump is just one of a number of legal problems facing the former president, and the other investigations could actually pose an even greater legal jeopardy to Trump. NBC News Chief White House Correspondent Kristen Welker has that part of the story.
Anthony Baglione is out at the DBAP right now. We checked in with him at the start of this newscast, and he's out there again, just hours away from first pitch of that. You lost your friend, though, Anthony, I see.
He abandoned me. We had such a fun live shot. Now he's out making friends, getting people pumped up here for what's going to be an awesome game tonight. I was just saying a second ago, the weather right now is perfect for this game. As Elizabeth was saying, we do have that chance for a few showers, but it is very, very comfortable right now. They've been getting the field ready. Lots of people out here already, at least the grounds workers, the crews out here. Let's show you a look behind me. You can see it is a beautiful field, first of all. That grass is just so green right now, and they've been working on it. It is going to be a great night here for baseball. They do have fireworks after the game, so you make sure to stick around as you come out. Again, 6:35 is the opening pitch here tonight. Weather-wise, let's talk about our forecast. So we're going to see, again, very comfortable temperatures. There is going to be a chance of an isolated shower or two. It is not going to be a washout. Don't let that deter you here from coming on out. And we're not expecting severe weather or lightning. It's just potentially a few of those rogue inconvenient showers that we could see today. So certainly still going to be a very good night for baseball. They have many new things going on here this year. It's an all season long thing. So just don't focus on necessarily tonight. They have many events all throughout this year and this season. They have Taco Tuesdays here in some spots. And then they also have hot dogs for a dollar on Thursday. Lots going on. They have remodeled locker rooms, just tons and tons of activities out here, especially for the kids, the adults, just everyone who does not love baseball on a Friday night. So weather-wise, going to be great. Hopefully you can come on out. We'll send it back to you in the studio. I'm going to go try and find my friend again, but he seems to have evaded the newscast here this morning.
Well, Anthony, while you're at it, you might want to try out some of the creations. There's some new food options there at the DBAP. And of course, we know that food is part of the baseball experience as well.
It's going to be delicious. Yeah, they have several new nacho dishes I was seeing a second ago with queso and jalapenos and just delicious stuff on it. So, yeah, the food is definitely going to be a very good plus here to coming out to the game.
It is lunchtime, so, you know.
And they'll also have chorizo on fries, too, and all beef franks. All right, I'm getting hungry already.
Anthony, thank you. We'll check back in county by county when we come back. Beginning tomorrow, increased penalties for speeders will go into effect across the Fort Bragg installation, including the ranges and training areas. There are new penalties for anyone going 15 miles per hour over the speed limit. Violators could lose their driving privileges. Previously, suspensions were only issued for speeding over 80 miles per hour.
A reminder for this weekend, sections of several streets in downtown Wilson are closed through Sunday as you take a live look at the whirligigs moving there at the park in Wilson. Crews are working on the Farmer's Warehouse building over on Goldsboro Street. The owners of the building will complete needed maintenance during that time, including removing the wall facing Goldsboro Street. So parts of Goldsboro, Keenan, and Mercer Streets are closed in Wilson.
This is the final day on the job for Wayne County School Superintendent David Lewis. He's retiring. Before he became a superintendent in January of 2021, he held a number of positions in public education for more than 30 years. The school board is currently searching for a new superintendent. Michael Pretty is serving right now as interim superintendent.
An estimated 1.5 million people suffer a traumatic brain injury every year in the U.S. And new research is shedding light on the long-term effects of this injury. Coming up, why some medical experts believe we should change how those injuries are treated. Also ahead, another study shows how too much screen time affects your child's brain as they get older.
And welcome back. Carolina Beach right there. We showed you this shot before sunrise. You can see the Ferris wheel there, but nothing else. Now it's just lit up beautifully right there on the beach, and lots of folks taking advantage of it right now as well. 12:40 in the afternoon. There's new research challenging the long-held belief that people who suffer from traumatic brain injuries are out of the woods after being treated. Researchers found some traumatic brain injuries become chronic conditions requiring lifelong treatment. Patients may have problems with thinking, problem solving, or regulating behavior, and are often unsupported after initial treatment, which can make those issues worse.
We actually see people changing long after their original injury. And actually, the thing you're least likely to do is stay the same.
Those involved in the study are working to come up with new ways to help places like healthcare facilities, treatment centers, shelters, and even prisons better screen those with traumatic brain injuries and give the care that's needed.
The number of people getting prescriptions for ADHD rose sharply during the pandemic. A new study from the CDC found prescriptions went up more than 10% across all age groups in 2021. Some experts think the greater use of telehealth could be a factor in the increase. They say it could lower barriers to treatment, but it could also lead to inappropriate prescribing. The study comes as the nation faces a shortage of Adderall. Gunshot injuries surged during the pandemic, according to the CDC. A new study shows during the first 2 years of the pandemic, the number of people injured by guns went up by 40%. That's compared to numbers from 2019. In 2022, gun-related injuries decreased, but were still 20% higher than before the pandemic. The largest demographic affected by gun violence is children younger than 15 years old.
There's another study that says too much screen time for children may affect their mental health as they get older. Researchers from Yale University reviewed the data of more than 5,000 children. They found high levels of screen time at ages 9 and 10 resulted in higher levels of anxiety and depression at ages 11 and 12. The study did not connect higher levels of screen time with bullying or aggression. Researchers say the study is a significant step in hopes to completely understand how screen time impacts children.
If you're in the market for a used car, you might want to double check your budget. The price of used cars is once again going up. Jason Law explains which types of vehicles are the most expensive during this time of demand.
After a winter lull, used car prices are heating up. Joe Musali is a pre-owned group manager at Autobahn USA Dedham. He says right now he's having a hard time keeping used cars on the lot.
All of a sudden in January, the market went through the roof again.
Why is this happening?
Well, there's just not that much of a supply.
Brian Moody is with Kelley Blue Book. He says if you're looking for a used car for $10,000 or less, you're going to have a hard time because there's an incredible demand but not enough supply of cheap used cars. He says you'll have a much easier time finding what you want in the $35,000 to $40,000 range.
If you can pay over $35,000 for a used car, hey, you're in great shape. But if you're looking for one that's below $10,000 or $15,000, like a lot of us are, there might not be as many to pick from.
With prices expected to creep even higher throughout the spring, Moody says you need to look for a car that fits your budget and your needs.
Don't just go buying an SUV because you like SUVs. Those types of popular vehicles, minivans, full-size SUVs, and full-size pickup trucks, they're the most expensive.
That was Jason Law reporting. Analysts say buyers who can't afford to do so should buy soon. Auto loan rates may continue to rise this year as the Federal Reserve keeps raising interest rates.
And happening right now in the WREL Live Center, we are continuing to follow the latest developments for former President Donald Trump and his indictment. New York court officials this afternoon are saying he will be arraigned on Tuesday at 2:15 p.m. at a Manhattan courthouse. I want to take you live out to Trump Tower this afternoon. We were seeing some protesters lining the street there. It seems as though they have all gone away. No more protesters here. And then we also have this live shot here of West Palm Beach Airport. You can see this is Trump's plane. The former president will travel to New York on Monday ahead of his court appearance. Now, this indictment will not be unsealed until next week, but he could face more than 30 counts, some of them felonies related to business fraud. We're going to continue to track this from the Live Center. I'll bring you any developments as soon as I get them.
Michelle, thanks. We could see some showers this afternoon and into the evening, but call it a prelude or warm up to what we're going to see tomorrow with that wet, windy weather.
Yeah, exactly. That's why the WRAL weather alert has been assessed. Now, Elizabeth Gardner of the WRAL Severe Weather Center, as you look to the west, that's where the trouble's coming here.
We do have some showers that are moving through, say, the Triad area and back down towards Charlotte. Those are going to creep our way, and we're going to see just some light, patchy rain moving through on, just sort of on and off for the next, almost 24 hours or so. Finally, by the time we get to about 10 o'clock tomorrow morning, we'll end up with the line of thunderstorms that comes through. It's likely to be a fairly narrow band. It'll work its way westward across the area. But this is, first things first, just a few scattered showers that are going to be moving across the area. Nothing severe here. It is becoming breezy as this next system rolls in, and a lot of cloud cover. You see in Goldsboro, the camera is really moving back and forth pretty dramatically. We're going to take a look at the winds in just a minute. We check out Apex with gray skies, Chapel Hill, and of course, Durham. And boy, they're gearing up in Durham for the Durham Bulls home opener. I can't believe we are already there. So baseball begins. In Chapel Hill, plenty of people out and about, but notice most of them are not in shorts and t-shirts. So it is definitely a fairly cool period right now. We'll see temperatures warming up into the mid 70s later this afternoon. Wilson's always a great camera to check out when it is windy, and you can see the whirligigs really spinning around very quickly. Lots of cloud cover, and eventually, in a few hours, we'll likely see a few showers rolling through there. This is a look at our wind speeds and gusts. The wind speed is on the left. We've had a big change yesterday and the day before. Our wind was coming out of the north, and that made it feel pretty chilly. Well, today it's starting to come out of the south. That brings us a warmer afternoon, and it'll also bring us a warmer day tomorrow ahead of our front. We have gusty winds gusting to 25 in South Hill, 26 in Rocky Mount, 22 in Goldsboro, and 24 in Fayetteville. We'll likely have some gusts to 20, 25 around the Triangle area as well. Winds are likely to stay up all night long and begin to increase more as we get into the day tomorrow, because we could end up with some gusts at, say, 30 to 40, maybe even some isolated 50 mile per hour wind gusts as we get into the day tomorrow. So we're looking at a little bit of rain starting to push in back to our west. Here's our front. It is sliding eastward. We'll likely later this afternoon have a band of severe storms that develops. So take a look at this. Oh my goodness, this is a brand new update. It's a level 5 risk southwest of Chicago. And then right here across parts of the Deep South, also a level 5. That is something that we only see maybe a couple of times a year. So that is definitely going to be a tornado outbreak for those spots. The red shaded area is a level 4. So this is a very, very dangerous system that is coming toward us. Now, once it crosses the mountains, it's going to be a completely different story. But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to be a really rough afternoon and evening for some folks across the Midwest. For us tomorrow, it's a level 1 risk for severe storms across most of the viewing area. We're on the lookout for some damaging winds as this comes through, which is going to be right around the middle of the day. Here's Futurecast. We'll watch what happens as we get through the rest of the day today. You can see these isolated showers coming through. Nothing terribly heavy. At around 5, 6 o'clock, we have a band that looks a little bit more beefy coming through, but it's not going to produce any severe storms. We're not looking at even any thunder or lightning for today. We have a very stable air mass in place. We'll move it ahead to tomorrow, a few isolated showers overnight, and then here comes that line of thunderstorms. At about 10 a.m., it's moving into our western, northwestern counties, right around lunchtime, right around noon to 1 o'clock through the Triangle area, and of course, over Dream, where we'll have tens of thousands of people. And then after that, by 3 or 4 o'clock, it's moving completely out of the region. Skies will be clearing, but it does remain windy even behind this. How much rain will we see with this? Right around the Triangle, it's probably going to be around a quarter of an inch, maybe a little bit more than that. That will be enough to make for some very muddy conditions at Dreamville Saturday and again on Sunday. This afternoon, we could see max wind gusts up to 35 miles per hour, but most of them are going to be in the 25 mile per hour range. As we get into the day Saturday, those wind gusts likely to be in the 40, maybe 45 mile per hour range. And that means we could see a few isolated power outages across our area. We'll be watching out for that. Let's take a look at the headliners. Again, it's really going to be a bigger deal during, say, lunchtime, early afternoon on Saturday. By the time we get to 6:30, when city girls take the stage, it'll be clear. We'll still see 30 to 40 mile per hour wind gusts, but 72 degrees at 7:30 for RA Linux, 69. And we're going to continue to see some strong gusty winds. 68 at 8:30 when Lil Durk takes the stage, and then for Usher at 9:30, 67. That's still fairly comfortable at 20 to 30 mile per hour wind gusts. Finally, overnight Saturday night, those winds will begin to die off, and Sunday's going to be a much nicer day. It'll be on the cool side at 5:45 when JID takes the stage, 62 degrees, but sunny skies, 60 at 6:45 for Summer Walker, and then it begins to cool off a bit more right around sunset for Burna Boy, 7:45, 58 degrees, and J. Cole and Drake at 9:15, about 55. So definitely getting cooler as we get through the day. Of course, Saturday is a WRL weather alert day because of that threat for severe storms. We have that level one threat for us on Saturday again, mid-morning through the middle of the afternoon. And then after that, the weather becomes quieter. Sunday cool at 67, but we warm back into the 80s by the middle of next week.
We'll get some warmth with that quiet. Elizabeth, thank you. Six great white sharks are swimming off the North Carolina coast.
Still ahead, meet one of the researchers tracking them and find out how you can follow them too.
Welcome back. You're looking live at Pinehurst, where we have cloudy skies there, and all across the triangle and beyond, we could see some on and off showers throughout the day and evening. As we wrap things up, here's a look at a few of the headlines that we're following today. This morning, we've learned a 26-year-old woman is charged with hitting and killing Durham's budget director while he was cycling. John Allura had worked for the city of Durham for nearly 25 years. And Highway Patrol tells us 26-year-old Karen Maldonado was charged with driving the car that hit Allura. We're tracking the next steps for Donald Trump as he becomes the first former president to ever face criminal charges. The indictment against him won't be unsealed until next week. This is linked to his alleged role in paying hush money to adult film actress Stormy Daniels to cover up an affair when he was running for president. Trump is set to be arraigned in a New York courtroom Tuesday.
Organizers and people planning to go to the Dreamville Festival this weekend are getting ready for wind and rain, and it is a rain or shine event, we want to remind you, but a spokesperson for the festival said could be some factors that could cause delays in some of the performances, maybe you can cancel some of them, including standing water out there, the severity of winds and lightning. We will have live coverage of the festival on our evening and weekend news. Right now, off North Carolina's coast, more than a dozen sharks are roaming the waters.
Six of them are great white sharks, so be careful where you swim. It is all due to the work of the nonprofit group OSearch, which developed a free online shark tracking app. OSearch tracks sharks all around the world. It's part of their mission to restore a healthy balance in the world's oceans and to keep us safe from sharks.
It can be a good reference point just to know what animals are around. And we really hope that people are able to use the OSearch tracker so that they can learn more about how these animals move and really appreciate how important they are to everything that we do when we're in the ocean.
And she says the app helps people learn more about these incredible animals and their value to our underwater ecosystem. We have big news from the North Carolina Zoo.
Yeah, we'll bring it back onto land now. They're expecting a giraffe calf at the zoo. The proud parents, Jack and Leia, they are sticking close together, spending more time in the barn awaiting the baby's arrival. So zoo officials say because the proud parents nesting for just a bit, you may miss them if you go to the giraffe deck over the next few weeks.
Please set up a giraffe cam, though. I would watch.
Yeah.
Our pet of the day is Frappuccino. This three-month-old puppy is looking to join a wonderful family along with her equally adorable littermates.
Yeah, Frappuccino weighs about 13 pounds, may get to around 50 to 60 pounds when fully grown. Since she's just a puppy, she'll need a family who can teach her how to be a great dog.
Frappuccino's adoption fee is $300, which includes her spay, microchip, puppy vaccines, dewormers, and others. Interested adopters can find more information at spcawake.org.
He rose to viral fame during last year's Dreamville Festival, and Josiah Russell is now returning, this time as an artist. We catch up with him a year after he was invited on stage while working at the show.
NBC News Daily is next on WREL, your next local news update in 30 minutes.
Keep watching WREL News over the air channel 34 and Spectrum channel 1257.